if that didn't bless your gizzard, you may not have one. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. That's wonderful. Imagine if I'd have ever learned to sing, I'd sing a lot like that. Yeah, amen. All right. Thank you, dear lady. That was beautiful. Praise the Lord. Sometime when you get time, write this down. Faith is the end of anxiety. Anxiety is the end of faith. Faith ends where anxiety starts. As soon as it starts, you've done ended your faith. And faith will end all anxiety. I hope you write that down. Think about it. Practice it. Use it. Amen. Well, joy for Miss Williams now to be here. How many did not show up in Sunday school? Could I see your hands? Oh, okay, good. Shame on you. I want you to meet my wife. That's why I had you raise your hand. Sweetheart, would you stand up? There was a number of people that weren't here this morning when I introduced you. And we're glad that you're here. Amen. All right. The Acts chapter 2 in your Bible today, please. Acts and chapter 2. It's always a joy to be with Dr. Miss Rogers and you said I didn't know he had a doctorate. He does now. I just gave him one. These schools can give him. I can give him. Amen. Sure, nothing to that. I promise you, he deserves one. He's a tremendous servant of the Lord, and I believe that with all my heart. I don't know anybody that I know in the ministry that stays on a more even keel than he does. Just whatever comes, that's the way it is. God will get us through it. God will help us. And thank the Lord for that. And for his good wife and for the children, praise the Lord. And thankful for David and him going on with the Lord and looking for a wife. I mean, just going on with the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm looking for one for him too, I tell you. Amen. I believe a fellow ought to have some scouts out around. Amen. Yeah. But we're glad you're here today. And thank God for the joy of being here. Been here many, many times. Over the years, and always a blessing to see you folks and see you going on with God and advancing for Christ, and I thank God for it. And thank you, preacher, for having us and being here today and being here a couple of days with you. Pray for me. I was eating supper last night and broke a tooth right in half. Thank God it didn't hurt him. Boy, I tell you, that's a blessing. One fellow was a Chinese fellow, and he went to the dentist, and he couldn't get across to the dentist because of his broken way of speaking English. He couldn't get the dentist to understand what his problem was, and the receptionist walked in, and she said, "Doctor, you have another appointment at 2:30. And the Chinese fellow said, "Oh, no, yep, 2:30, 2:30. okay. I was eating in a Chinese restaurant a while back, and this Chinese waiter was waiting on us. And I said, "Do you like Chinese jokes?" "Yeah." He said, "Oh, yeah, 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 yeah." So I said, "This Chinese fellow went to the optometrist, and the optometrist looked in his eye and said, 'Sir, you have a cataract.' He said, 'No, no, Rincon Continental.'" This Chinese waiter, he thought that was pretty funny. A lot funnier than you thought it was. Okay, good. Well, that's the end of those. I can see that. Okay, good. Acts chapter 2. You say, "Brother Williams, you think God appreciates humor?" Yeah, he made us. And so, thank you. You know, Pinocchio's not the only one with a funny looking nose. You ever notice that? Yeah. I need to come back more often. Y'all have forgotten how to laugh. I can see that. All right, good. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you now for your word. Thank you for your time to preach the Bible. Search our hearts this morning for those that are lost. Would you draw them by the power of thy Holy Spirit unto thyself and save them by thy grace through the blood of our blessed Savior. And then this morning, would you deal with each one of us as Christians that we might wake up in this hour. Oh, surely, our Father, surely we must know our nation is perishing. Surely we must know that we're in trouble, not financial, we're in spiritual trouble. And Father, today, that we might be willing to draw nigh to you and thank you that you already said, if you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. In Jesus' precious name and for his sake, amen. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, a lot of people major on this chapter and talk about the speaking in tongues and so forth about that. But you have to understand that you need to read the Bible for what it says, not for what somebody says it says. Acts 2 never says anywhere that everybody spoke in tongues. That's not the miracle of Acts 2. The miracle of Acts 2 is that everybody heard. Everybody heard. There were 16 different languages there, 16 different nations. And when the apostles spoke, the Holy Spirit took it and interpreted it into every one of those languages. And everybody heard in their own language. If I could have one prayer answered every time I preach, it would be that you would hear what I am saying. You know, it's amazing. Pastor can get up here and announce for 3 weeks that there's going to be an activity here at the church. And then it comes to pass. And then he sees you somewhere and he said, boy, wasn't that fun the other night? And he, what? Oh, what we did at church. I know what went on. I didn't know a thing about it. Well, announce it for 3 weeks. You know, we don't hear, do we? We don't hear. That's why Jeremiah said, hear, O earth, hear, 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 hear. He said it 4 times. Hear, O earth, hear, O earth, hear, O earth, hear, O earth, the voice of the Lord. God wants you to hear. God says, he that hath ears, let him hear. Let him hear. Do you know what the radio wants? Do you know why there's music and programs on radio? They want your ear. They want your ear. Did you ever hear them say, well, we have the largest listening audience? I never heard one of them say, we have the largest audience, but they don't listen. You know, they at the football game, they'll say, your attention, please, your attention, please. Or you lose a kid at Walmart, they say, your attention, please, your attention, please. You know, why do they say that before they say anything? Because they want you to hear it. They want you to hear it. And I trust that especially when you come to church, you'll open your ears. You'll get something that's being said. You'll hear what God is saying to you. And you'll want to know what God is saying to you. And that you will get it and use it and put it into action for the Lord. And here in Acts chapter 2, the prophet Joel, back in his book, made a prophecy, and he said, notice, and it shall come to pass in verse 21 of Acts 2, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, that's a quote from the book of Joel, and he said, there's coming an hour when people other than Jews can be saved. If you study the Old Testament, then you'll find that only a handful, and literally, I mean a handful, you can put on both hands the Gentiles that got saved in the Old Testament. There was just a handful of Gentiles saved. You remember that after 120 years of preaching, only 8 people went in the ark. Only 8 people believed what Noah was saying. And then you come on down and you'll see Rahab the harlot getting saved. You'll see Ruth the Moabitess getting saved. Grace overrode law. A Moabite was not to enter the congregation of the Lord until the 10th generation. You'll see God saving this Moabitess woman named Ruth. You'll see God saving the Rahab the harlot, a dyed-in-the-wool Gentile. You'll see just a handful of Gentiles getting saved in the Old Testament. But Joel said, there's coming a time. There's coming a time when whosoever, that's all the word whosoever means. It means Gentile and Jew. That's all it means. Never was meant to mean anything else. It just meant there'd come an hour when even a Gentile could be saved. The Bible says the Lord Jesus called 12 and sent them out to preach. But where did he send the 12? He sent the 12 only to the house of Israel. Only to the house of Israel. So much so that when the Syrophoenician woman in Mark 7 came to him and said, look, I've got a daughter and I want her healed. She's got a demon. And the apostle said, he's not going to talk to you. He's not going to help you. He came only to the Jews and they shooed her away. But she wouldn't be put off. And she kept calling out and calling out until she got the Lord's attention. And Jesus said, it's not right to take the food of the children and give it to dogs. And she said, yea, Lord, but the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from the children's table. And he said, I have not seen so great a faith in all of Israel. He said, go your way, your daughter's healed. Look, he wasn't dealing with Gentiles. He wasn't dealing with Gentiles. You go back and study in the book of Genesis chapter 22, 23, 24, 25. And you'll find the truths there. As he sends his servant over to get a bride for Isaac. That's a servant going to get a Gentile bride. My friend, the people over in the Ur of Chaldees were Gentiles. And there wasn't any Jews till God made Abraham one. He called him. He was a Syrian. And he saved him. And he called him. And he became... There are no such thing as a Jew, okay? Jew is religion. Now, Judaism. They are Hebrews. They are Hebrews. Here's a Hebrew. And he was the very first one. Abraham was. God did that. And that's the servant going over to get a Gentile wife for a Jewish boy. You have a picture of the Holy Spirit going and finding a Gentile bride for a Jewish Savior. In the 24th chapter, you'll find Rebekah coming back with the servant, and Isaac takes her, notice very carefully what the Holy Spirit says, he takes her into the tent of Sarah. That's God setting aside the Jewish nation and putting on the main track the Gentiles and dealing with them. Then you see in the 25th chapter, Abraham marries his third wife, Keterah, and that's God putting the Jews back on the track. Now for 2,000 years, God's been seeking a Gentile bride for his Jewish son. Ms. Williams and I were at a doctor last summer. And I was going in there for a place that I had on my neck there for him to look at and to find out he was a Jewish doctor. And I said, my best friend's a Jew. He said, that's rare. He said, there's lots of Jews. I said, not like this one. Not like this one. I said, this Jew's named Jesus. Oh, he said, that Jew. Oh, yeah. Hey, my best friend's a Jew. My best friend's a lawyer. Boy, that's a rare combination, isn't it? Huh? Do you know the difference between a dead lawyer on the freeway and a dead possum? There's skid marks for the possum. And not too many people like lawyers. But my best friend's a lawyer. Are you anybody a lawyer? I was just kidding, okay? Now, look, I've won more people to Christ just telling them my best friend's a lawyer. And I said, he never lost a case. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Never lost a case. And boy, they want to know right away, who in the world never lost a case? I said, Jesus. Jesus never lost a case. All that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I'll save them. I'll save them. And he said, here. He said, whosoever. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. Shall be saved. Whosoever. Gentile alike. So God's not dealing in the 12. Then he called 70 and he sent them out. He sent 70 out. Where did he send them? To the house of Israel. He called 12 and sent them? House of Israel. Called 70 and sent them? House of Israel. And those men were locked in that little tiny nation. Do you have any idea how small Israel is? It's unbelievable. It captures the headlines of most newspapers all the time. It's got the whole world trying to get rid of it and everything. And it's that big. Every time that a airline, every time that an air, a fighter pilot jet, a fighter pilot gets into his fighter jet over in Israel, an F-16, every time he gets in it, every 90 seconds he crosses his nation. Every 90 seconds. He has to fly to the Mediterranean, turn it up in the air, bend it on its back, come back to the Jordan, whip it up on the right side because he dares not cross the Jordan because about 300, 200, 300 yards across the Allenby Bridge is there the Lebanese and the Jordanians, and they're going to shoot him down. So he comes to that river, cranks her up, goes back the other way, and the sonic boom just jars those guys. But there ain't nothing they can do about it. But every 90 seconds, that's how small that nation is. And the Lord Jesus locked his 12 in there, and he locked his 70 in there. And he said, go only to the house of Israel. But thank God, my friend, that just before he went back to heaven, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye into all the world. The Bible said that Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is salvation to the Jew first, and then also to the Gentile. The word of God came through the Jews. My friend, every one of these books in this Bible were written by Jews. God's not giving any new truths. He's not giving any new revelations. He gave the last one to John, who was a Jew. Peter was a Jew. And on and on and on and on. And everybody that wrote this book was a Jew. And I want you to understand that God's not giving any more revelations. And he never has given any other. And all these people with these modern religions, not one of them are Jewish. Learn something this morning, dear folk, and understand this. Understand this, that God said one day there will be a time when even Gentiles can be saved. And Paul is over there in the book of Acts a little further, and he hears a Macedonian call, come over and help us. And he said, I was not disobedient to that call. I heard that call. And I went over into Macedonia. And from Macedonia to Asia Minor, the word came. And from Asia Minor, it came to Rome. And Rome to the Western world. And I can stand in Adrian, Michigan this morning, thank God, to a predominantly, if not totally, a Gentile audience and say, you can be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that message. Thank God for that privilege. And I'm here to tell you this morning that number one step in your life, dear friend, is get saved. Get saved. You need to be saved. You need to come to Christ this morning. I got saved at 20 years of age as a drunk and a pornography pusher and a mouth so filthy that cowboys and oil field workers, rough men, would stop and get out of the car and say, Williams, I feel dirty just from your mouth. Let me walk. God saved me. I want you to understand, I was already a church member. I'd already been baptized, but that doesn't do it, friend. You've got to be born of the Spirit of God. You've got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You've got to have salvation through and in Jesus Christ this morning, or you'll die and go to hell. You may be a member of this church. You may be a wonderful person. You may do right. You may pay your bills. You may treat your family right. You may be active in the community. You may go down and help the orange ladies at the hospital. You may help old ladies across the street. You may make cookies for the home down here that where people are that have mental problems. I want you to understand that's all kind and it's all good. But the Bible said, though not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. Not according to our works has he saved us, but according to his righteousness has he saved us. My friend, the Bible says, I am saved through Christ. I'm saved through the Lord Jesus. And today you have to get saved that way. You need to come to him this morning and ask him to save you. You need to come, teenager. I beg you to come. I beg you to come, young lady. I beg you to come, young man. I beg you to come, young couple. I plead with you this morning. If you don't get saved, you will go to hell. Be sure of that. Be certain of that. This book cannot lie. 11 times in the Bible, hell is talked about. Peter never talked about it. John never talked about it. Paul never talked about it. Luke never talked about it. Mark never talked about it. Peter never talked about it. I want you to understand, Matthew never talked about it. Jesus reserved that for himself. And all 11 times in the Bible that you find hell talked about, it's the Son of God talking about it. Please understand, the Son of God is telling you over and over and over again that only the saved are going to heaven. Look at Revelation 21 sometime or 20, and it said, the light of those that are saved shall walk. Those that are saved shall walk in the light of that city. And you have to be saved. You have to know the Lord God as your Savior today, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, dear friend, that you'll take that number one step in your life that I took 53 years ago today. I want you to understand that you need to come to Christ. I want you to understand, you can join this church, you can get baptized, you can join some other church, you can belong to the Odd Fellows, you can belong to the Masonic Lodge, you can belong to whatever you want to belong to, but that's not belonging to Jesus. You've got to belong to Jesus. The song said, now I belong to Jesus. And that's where salvation is. And I beg you this morning, I plead with you this morning, don't put God off again. Don't put God off again. You don't know about tomorrow. You don't know if you have an aneurysm in your brain somewhere. You don't know if that little piece of skin grew thin around your heart. You don't know. And when that thing does that, you're gone. You're gone just that quick. Dr. Wendell Kempton, president of ABWE, one day his wife, he called her on the phone. He said, honey, I'm going to be at the airport in just a few minutes now, and you come get me. And she was getting ready to go to the airport. She thought she had just grabbed their check from the office of ABWE and cash it. She went through the drive-in at the bank, and the car never stopped, and it went right into one of the posts at the bank at the drive-up there, and everybody came out to see what was the matter. And Carolyn Kempton had had an aneurysm. Just a young lady had an aneurysm, and she was dead. Oh, I know. They put her on the machines and kept her a couple of days, but she was dead. You're just that close to it. You're just that close to it. You're one heartbeat. I'm 73 years old. My heart has beat just short of 3 billion times. 3 billion times. If you're 70 years old, yours has beat 2.58 billion. Look, you're one heartbeat from death. One heartbeat, teenager. One heartbeat, mom and dad. One heartbeat. Had a couple call just a week and a half ago to the office and said their teenage son had a heart attack. You don't know. You don't know. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. You say, preacher, if I come down this morning and I confess Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord and believe He rose from the dead, will I be saved? Absolutely. Absolutely. Some young couple come this morning and say to Pastor Rogers, Pastor Rogers, we'd like to be married. We've got our license right here. They hand him the license. He says a few public words. They say a few public words and they walk out saved. They walk out married. You believe that, don't you? Huh? Mules shake their head. Save me. Say something to me, would you? Boy, did you ever hear of home court advantage? Huh? How would you like to go to a ball game and a guy grabs the ball on a 2-yard line, breaks 7 tackles, runs over 3 guys, just mows them down and runs into the end zone 98 yards later and everybody says, yay. Why do you think they call it home court advantage? Right, yeah. Yes, go, man, go! Woo! Boy, if you folks had talked to me a little, I can preach, I promise you. Yeah. Boy, I preach in a black church in San Diego, they about preach me to death. I can't hardly talk when I get out of there. I get to preaching, and that old black preacher, he'd say, Why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I ever think of that? I'd preach on a little bit, and he'd say, You got him in a corner. Don't let him out, brother. Grind on him. Some of y'all would die if you'd go to a black church. They take 4 offerings. They take till they get it. They ain't fixing to let you out till they know you've given. Brother, I'm all for that. Amen. One guy said, give again? And the other guy said, yeah, when God quits giving, I guess we can. Look at Acts chapter 2, please, and verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Number 2 step in your life, get baptized. Get baptized. Get baptized. Oh, you say I had that when I was a baby. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Read Acts chapter 8. The eunuch said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, nothing if thou believest. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is, not was, is the Son of God. He was saying, I believe he rose from the dead. I believe he's under on high. And Philip said, then thou mayest be baptized. Babies don't believe anything. You can't baptize a baby. You can sprinkle them if you want to. But you can't baptize them. My friend, baptize is a Greek word that you can't translate. It's the Greek word baptizo. There's no English word for it. So we do what we call transliterate. You just slur it over into the next language. And it's baptizo into the English. A slur is baptize. And you know what it means? It doesn't mean anything in the world except to immerse. Except to immerse in water. Do you ever drive down the street and see the sign Dunkin' Donuts? That ought to say Baptist Donuts. What do you do to a donut? You don't get a donut and stick your fingers in the coffee and go... They'd think you'd lost your mind. You don't take a donut and hold it over the saucer and take the cup of coffee and pour. What do you do with that donut? I tell you what you do. If you got any sense, you baptize it. Dunkin' Donuts. Do you know where they got the word Dunkin'? From the old Dunkin' Brethren. They dunk people. They don't baptize like we do. You know, nothing in the Bible says you got to lay them over backwards. They just take them, make their baptisters a little deeper than ours, and they get out there, and the guy stands there, and they go. You ever go swimming when you was a kid and have one of your so-called friends dunk you? Yeah. He just baptized you. If you ain't had that done, you ain't baptized. Because it's a picture of death. I've been to a lot of funerals, folks. I've never seen the fellow go out there to the graveyard that's in charge of the graveyard and put the casket there and get some dirt and go, you're buried. Never seen him take a cup and go, you're buried. You know what they do? They cover the guy up. They cover the person up. That's burying them. That's hiding them. That's getting them gone. When you're baptized up here, the pastor puts you down out of sight to show that you have died with Christ. According to Romans 6, we're buried with him by baptism. Now, it may not mean much to you in this country, but I want you to understand it means something in a lot of places. It means separation from family. It means a cast out. It means death in some places if you get baptized. I was preaching in India for M.A. Thomas We had a great time there, and a lot of people saved, and had a great conference, 600 and something pastors there. I preached for 14 days, and God just came down in a tremendous way. And He has a great church there, a brand new auditorium, seat 2,500 people, and there in the nation of India and the city of Kota. We got through with the crusade, and He said, "Now everybody that wants to be baptized that got saved this week, come over here on this side." And there was a great group of people on this side of the auditorium. And He said, "Now listen to me real carefully." He said, "I'm not asking you, after I baptize you, will you live for Christ?" And He pointed to a board over here, like sometimes churches have a board up here with how many on the buses and how many this and how much offering. And they have one too. It's a martyr board. And He pointed to the number on that board and He said, "That's how many of our people from this church have been martyred for preaching the truth." Wonder how he said, "I'm not asking if you'll live for Christ. I'm asking you, will you die for Him?" Wonder how many baptisms we would report every year if it meant dying for God. You see, in the scriptures here, when they were baptized, they were cast out. Now, baptism ought to mean something to you. I'm dying to self, I'm dying to this world, and I'm going to live for Christ. Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." He said, "For me to live is Christ. Follow me like I follow Christ." He said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Follow me like I follow Christ." Would you want somebody around here to follow you like you follow Christ? This morning, number two step in your life. Nobody ought to have to speak to you about baptism. It's just automatic. I get saved, I get baptized. I get saved, I get baptized. Number three step. It says, verse 41, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." About 3,000 souls. Join the church. Join. So some of you folks just come all the time, but you don't ever join. You don't want to get committed. You just kind of sit out on the sidelines. God help you. Get in. Get in over in Minot. We were having supper with this couple over in Minot, North Dakota the other day. And he said, "Well, you know, we've never joined this church or anything." And I said, "Really?" I said, "You know, did you leave your kids over yonder in that other city? Did you leave your money over there? Did you leave your furniture over there?" I said, "You moved all that. Why don't you move your church membership? Why don't you get in there and get busy for God?" Thank God that old boy got under conviction. That morning his wife came to the altar crying and praying for him. And she started back to the pew, like on the second pew there. And he started out of the pew and met her and put his arms around her and said, "I love you," and gave her a big old kiss on the face and joined the church. They bought every bit of my material, brought all 10 albums, everything. He couldn't sleep the first night there, and he listened to all 3 hours on how to love your wife. And she called my wife yesterday, I think it was last night, and they were talking, and she said, "Wow, he's been watching those things from Brother Williams." It said, "Man, he called me from work and said, 'How you doing, baby? I love you. Woo!' He said, 'You're wonderful, you're beautiful.' He said, 'Brother Williams said, say all that.' And she said, 'Keep talking.'" She said, "You know what it made me want to do, Miss Williams? I just want to be so sweet to him and just love him." Well, amen. Hey, you say something sweet to your wife, it might change things too. Right. Just say, "Hey, how you doing? Supper ready? Where are my clothes?" "Where you left them, dummy?" Huh? Join the church. Join the church. Get saved. Get baptized. Join the church. Let's pray. Our Father.